We'll sing the next bit, though none go with me. But that's the old-fashioned version, isn't it? I'm going to hand over to Jonathan.
Well, good morning to you. Good morning. My name, for those that don't know me, my name's Jonathan. I'm the student minister here, and it's really great to see you here this morning, just to just spend time with us as a church family. It's really wonderful to see you. I wonder if, when you looked at the Tic Tac, if you could ever imagine just how much was packed into such a small object. Not only the strong minty taste, but also the ability to create really impressive chemical reactions. I think that actually probably says quite a bit about what's actually in a Tic Tac, or probably in Diet Coke as well. Yet this small Tic Tac is a really good illustration of what the Apostle Paul was trying to teach new Christians in the city of Corinth in Greece. Because word had reached Paul that there were fighting and divisions within the church there. Some were calling themselves followers of a man called Apollos. Some also were calling themselves followers of Paul, some of Peter, and some of Jesus. And so Paul attempts to deal with the problem by reminding them that God alone is in charge, that he rules over everything, even the strong, even the powerful. And he often works in ways that seem crazy or foolish to our own thinking, just like using you and me for his plans and his purposes. So we're going to read this morning from 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 29. This is from the Children's International Bible. And it says this: "The teaching about the cross seems foolish to those who are lost, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. It is written in the scriptures, 'I will cause the wise men to lose their wisdom. I will make the wise men unable to understand.' Where is the wise person? Where is the educated person? Where is the philosopher of our times? God has made the wisdom of the world foolish. The world did not know God through its own wisdom. So God chose to use the message that sounds foolish to save those who believe it. The Jews ask for miracles as proof. The Greek wants wisdom. But we preach Christ on the cross. This is a big problem to the Jews, and it seems foolish to the non-Jews. But Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God to those people God has called, Jews and Greeks. For even the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Even the weakness of God is stronger than men. Brothers, look at what you were when God called you. Not many of you were wise in the way the world judges wisdom. Not many of you had great influence. Not many of you came from important families. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And he chose what the world thinks is not important. He chose what the world hates and thinks is nothing. He chose these to destroy what the world thinks is important. God did this so no man can brag before him." Corinth was a major city in ancient Greece. It's kind of like, if you can imagine, a mini London. It was thriving. It was flourishing. It had lots of people going through it. It was a really important centre for trade. It was a centre for arts, and it had many different religions. It had been destroyed once by the Roman Empire and rebuilt on the orders of Julius Caesar some 50 years before Jesus was born. Paul himself had spent over a year in Corinth, telling people about Jesus and teaching them about the good news of the cross. And when he left, a man called Apollos took over his teaching. We read that in Acts 18. The people who lived in Corinth at Paul's time would have been a real mixture. Of course, there would have been Greeks, there would have been Romans, but there would have been many other people from right across the empire. Some were nobility, some were people in authority and in government. But lots actually would have been servants and slaves. Much like today, many of the people in Corinth would have been impressed by what was seen as successful, sensational, even clever. The wise, the powerful, and the popular, these were the people the Corinthians longed to follow. They were attracted to them. Their position and status showed them just how well sorted they were. And these were people that others wanted to follow and be like them. I wonder today who the wise and the powerful and the popular might be in our culture, in our world. Perhaps if you're into sports, you may look to successful sports managers to listen to them about how they achieve their success. Maybe if you're into football, you hang on the words of Pep Guardiola or Jose Mourinho, but probably not Sam Allardyce. Perhaps some may look to our politicians today, people like Theresa May, Jeremy Corbyn, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, I don't know. Why? Because they tell us how they're going to solve the world problems through persuasive arguments, through powerful speeches and their own personal influence. Some of us may follow the great minds of the 21st century. We read lots of books from people like Stephen Hawking, Richard Dawkins, and many others, because they give us words of wisdom. They help us to find direction in our lives. Maybe others might be followers of Mark Zuckerberg, Bill Gates, and Tim Cook, because it's their technology which pumps constant information at us. It informs us. It shapes how we see the world and what we think. Jack, if I could have the slides, please. You know, we value these people highly because we gain knowledge and we often think that that makes us wise as well. People always look wise in their own eyes. And I love this cartoon from Calvin and Hobbes, which just sums that up to me so well. But as Paul reminds those Corinthians, God is full of surprises. You know, the way he works seems foolish in comparison. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Who would have ever reasoned that the creator of the universe would come to us in the form of a baby born in Bethlehem? Who could have imagined that he would have died a death of a common criminal on a cross, crucified, publicly humiliated, or that he would rise from the dead? Who could have ever imagined that he would call you and me, the young and the old, single, couples, healthy or infirm, to be part of his great plan, part of his mission to bring others into a relationship with him, in our schools, in our colleges, at our workplaces, at home, in our care homes, in our local communities and further afield? How foolish is that? But Paul goes back into the Old Testament. He quotes from Isaiah and Jeremiah when he says that the Jewish people, what they're impressed with are works of power and might. The Greeks look for clever arguments, people to display immense wisdom. But God's answer? God's answer is a man. Jesus, dying on a cross. This is God's foolishness. Except, of course, that it's stronger and wiser than anything in this world. God's true wisdom is that it is the cross that saves. It's a gift of salvation for absolutely everyone. You know, it's not about Paul or Apollos or Peter or any of our modern leaders today. It's simply about Jesus. For when you know Jesus, you're wiser than all of the Jewish leaders, all of the Greek philosophers. You know, these new Christians in Corinth may not have had the greatest minds. They may not have been strong in influence. They may not have been in positions of power. But God chose them to have a relationship with him, to be adopted into his family, and to point others to Jesus. It could only come from God. It's a gift of grace and mercy, given how weak they must have felt and how weak others must have seen them. And that's the message for us today as well. It's still true for us today. When we feel small, when we feel insignificant, when we're struggling with things, we could never be of use to anyone. We could never be of use to God. But just look at that little tic-tac. It doesn't look like much, but it's far stronger than it seems. And this is what God sees in you, and this is what God sees in me. He's with us so that we can be strong for him. I know that in my own life as I study for ministry. And I'm sure that many of you really know that as well as you seek to serve him, as you step out in faith, as you lead life groups, as you serve in ministries. God can take the small and make it strong for him. You know, the devil and the wisdom of the world would say it's utter nonsense. Jesus and the cross is foolishness. And you know what? That makes you a fool as well. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And he chose you and me, each one of us, to be part of his plans. Each one of us has our own unique role to play. So if we are to be foolish, I would say to you, be fools for Christ. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you chose the weak. Lord, that you chose the foolish things of this world to be part of your plan and purpose. And Lord, we thank you that you chose me and that you chose each one of us to be part of your family and to be part of your church here. And simply this morning, we pray that you would give us faith and courage to see beyond who we are, but to see how you see us and the things that we can do because you are in our lives. Lord, would you help us to remember that you can do far greater things than we can ever imagine, and to help us put our trust in you to do that. Amen.